Well, like, I guess to move forward in the discussion, then, like, right, we basically discuss about how we got to this point in the election, and just the results. And now we want to just kind of go and look, almost do like some Monday morning quarterbacking, as you will, armchair quarterbacking, and see just like, in your opinion, Juan, because I want to hear this. Like, so what were the things that the Democrats, failed to do to like get those votes this time? Because there were a considerable amount of like a lot of people like either didn't stay home, like a lot of people just stayed home and didn't, or just like voted like other parties instead of just voting Democrats. So, I guess why do you think that happened? Essentially,
okay. One thing, real quick for the listeners, it might sound a little disjointed. There was a unexpected maintenance issue with the bot we were using to record the.
Good old chatbot.
Yeah, the little chatbot we were using to record this. Out of nowhere. I don't know how it's just going to suddenly start doing a maintenance on us.
Yeah, it was great timing. Excellent timing.
But yeah, so it might sound a tiny bit disjointed, but we wanted to finish up our thoughts on the election and give you a finish up what we had going on.
Right.
So yeah. Anyway, Kosi, back to your point on what Democrats did.
Yeah, I just want to pick your brain and see what you think they did wrong. Because I have some thoughts of my own, but I want to hear what yours were.
Yes. Oh, and one other thing, because we did have a little bit disjointed. I actually looked up a little bit on that fluoride in the water thing that we talked about with RFK. It turns out not every country adds fluoride. There's different reasons for that. Some of them end up just putting more fluoride in their toothpaste. Some locations just have more fluoride. Some just don't believe it. There's actually some places that have taken it off. A couple of them have actually started trying to put it back in because guess what? It turns out it fucked with their teeth and, you know, nobody else really noticeably improved.
Yeah, who'd have thought if they had just, you know, researched that, but oh well.
Yeah. There's also one big study that proponents or opponents of fluoride in water point to, which showed that high levels of fluoride in water was leading to some IQ effects in young children. Basically, it was affecting their development.
So negatively affect their IQ and development.
But the limit that they were finding adverse effects is roughly twice the limit of the water here in the U.S. So in theory, we're not really. And again, it's a disputed finding. Even the authors of the study that showed this were like, "Hey, this is not strong evidence. We would need more study to really determine how big of an effect this is." So there's not a ton of credible, like, damning evidence saying, "Hey, fluoride in the water is harming us."
You know, like, and that's been a thing I've always like heard all the time. Like, it's a big conspiracy theory, but like, fluoride in the water, like, who's like, why is it there? Like, it's there to has beneficial. Like,
it's there to improve your teeth health. That's exactly and only thing it's there for.
Oh,
they actually made fun of. I actually saw this on a movie subreddit. They actually made fun of the conspiracy theory around fluoride in the water back on the Strangelove, the movie back in the '60s.
Oh, great movie!
This is not a new a new conspiracy. Like, some of these things are eternal, right? You think it's like a new thing, RFK. Coming out saying these exciting new things, Joe Rogan. Now it turns out they're recycling conspiracies from 50 years ago plus.
So this isn't like Alex Jones saying gay frogs and chemtrails and stuff. It's just like this goes back a few years, basically.
You know, this is getting a tiny bit off topic, but the Alex Jones gay frogs thing was not as ridiculous as you'd think. The chemical he was talking about, actually was shown to cause gender changes in frogs under certain concentrations in certain locations. It wasn't totally off base about that. Now, that
it wasn't making them gay, it was just changing their gender.
Correct. And that's a thing that they can do naturally, right? That's a thing that frogs are capable of doing naturally. It's just it was inducing that change in them, so to speak.
Okay. So Alex Jones is being a little rascal about it, then kind of changing the words around and make it sound more
sensational. It's still notable, right? It's still notable.
Okay.
I'm just saying, that's one of his, of all the conspiracies and of all the bullshit he said, That's actually one of the more believable, accurate things.
That's insane. Like, even
it does not mean that those same chemicals are turning people transgender. Right, that is right. Not the same thing at all, which is what he was trying to imply. But
that, why didn't you just go with what you just said? You could have just gone with the first part. He didn't even have to go with the gay part. Just go.
But then you can't sell water filters, Cosi. You don't understand. He's a water filter salesman.
Okay. My bad.
You can't be selling awesome water filters that'll take the atrazine out of the water if you don't scare people that the atrazine in the water is going to make him gay. Come on, Cosi. Get with the program.
Look, man. That's 4D chess level grifting. I tip my cap. It's bullshit. I hate it, but hey, it works.
You know, whatever you want to say, these people have a cleverness about them.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
They know how to manipulate people, right? They're not complete idiots.
Do you think they manipulate? I think they're smart people that can manipulate dumb people. Because I think all of us would, hopefully, we all think that we can, you know, be able to see through, like, clear BS is being fed to us. But I think what we're realizing is a lot of people just can't.
There's actually been at least, I can't pull up the studies in front of me, but I think there's been some, believe it or not, often smarter, more educated people can actually fall into these cults and into this cultish misinformation thinking even harder than normal people.
Why is that?
Effectively, their powerful brains are more capable of, one, finding patterns where there aren't any, right? If your brain is good at finding patterns all over the place, always good at seeking out things that are linked, okay, it's very possible for it to suddenly start linking things that aren't there, or that don't mean anything, or that, you know, might have meant something in one case, but don't mean something in this entirely unrelated case.
I almost feel as though they just get so bored of being smart. They're like, all right, I want to try some stupid shit for once, and let's see how it goes. It's kind of how it feels to me
talk about the manipulators, but I'm talking about people manipulated.
Yeah, so I mean, the people that are being manipulated. Like, yo, I know how things go. I want to change things up and just take in some real stupid stuff and see how it goes. That's how it feels to me when I see.
Think of it like this. Okay, say you're I don't know, an engineer, right? You went to school. You did great. You were called, you know, smart all throughout. You're not Albert Einstein or anything, right? But all throughout, you've been telling that people have excelled. You were in gifted and talented classes, then honors classes. Everywhere you went in school, you excelled. You got A's. You went to a nice university. Then you got a nice job. You're getting paid really well. Everywhere you go, you're going to tell how smart and competent and awesome you are, right?
Right.
Okay. But then you are smart and awesome and competent at the things you have practiced and been good at. You might have some natural talent to go with it, of course, right? But still, the things you really, truly know and are expert at, the things you've been doing for years, the things you've been actually living the life, you know, you're talking about an engineer about building a bridge or drilling an oil well or whatever their expertise may be, they can give you clear, precise, detailed information, right?
Right. Okay,
so they get used to this mindset of, oh, I'm a smart guy, the things I think are correct, I'm competent, I'm good at finding things out, I'm good at studying things, right? And then they go on the internet, the crazy, awesome, powerful internet, and they start, you know, getting this, these people telling them and these articles telling them that, you know, fluoride in the water is bad, they sell it very convincingly, they talk to him in a way that appeals to him. They go like, oh, you know, these dummy sheeple in the mainstream media, they just buy whatever people tell them. They can't handle complicated facts like you can. So, you know, but this is the true story. This is the story that the actual intelligent people, and they'll start giving you stuff that makes logical sense in a way. It sounds logical on paper. You just have to actually be an expert in the field and be an expert in what's going on to know that it's incorrect.
And which nobody really is, so that's what makes it kind of easy. Yeah,
so a civil engineer, again, atrazine in the water, blah, blah, blah. Again, it sounds like the kind of stuff that has sounded correct and intelligent to him before, and he's used to his mind, like powerful mind, just being able to pick things up easily and correctly. So it's like, oh, okay, he doesn't actually have any experience with chemicals and their concentrations in water. He doesn't have any experience in biology and the complex mechanisms between which a male frog can turn into a female frog due to different conditions in the environment. Right? None of that is his expertise. But he still has the mindset of, oh, I'm smart. What I think is correct.
Right. And I think to even, and to go off of what you just said, it kind of does make sense because, you know, as you said, they're smart people. They're being told they're smart in these articles and this information being fed. And it kind of preys upon that. And then it's able to, almost like a Trojan horse. It then gives that, you know, that information to them. And then, you know, voila, now you have someone who is, you know, a smart person who really wouldn't fall for this, but they've warned them down and then inserted, you know, this wrong information. And I guess that's a great point about bringing all that. But I guess then to bring into this part of the topic, then Juan, like, what do you think then? Because a lot of what the Democrats were doing was trying to just like make sure, right or wrong, but they want to make sure information was being pushed to everyone. You know, primarily the information to me that they were pushing was, you know, like identity politics and whatnot, even though that's not true, but from like a superficial standpoint, you would think that's all the Democrats were running their whole campaign over. You and I both know that's not true, but again, just going by the average American who doesn't have time to look at articles, look at stuff like that, if you ask them, that's kind of all they ran their stuff on.
So funny thing about that is that Kamala almost explicitly went out of her way to not mention any of that. She didn't stand against it, right? She didn't come on and say, no, trans people in sports are bad. But she was mostly like, well, you know, we should follow the law and be fair to them, but that's not really my focus. And, you know, that's a tiny percentage of people, right? At no point was she like, no, we're going to make sure every trans athlete can compete, and we're going to make sure, and we have to celebrate that I'm a black woman president, and otherwise you're a bad person if you don't.
Or to do surgery on your kids on day one when I'm made president. Yeah, like all the stuff you hear on Reddit, yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, she did some of that in 2020 when she was running. That it was that big ad about her saying that she would do transgender surgeries, or at least, no, not transgender surgeries, gender-affirming care on prisoners. And again, you can see the logic behind it, right? If it's a medical condition, obviously you wouldn't suggest a prisoner who has diabetes wouldn't get insulin in prison, right? Or that a cancer patient wouldn't get their, right? Like, you would expect that the prisoner has to treat people. Or as a better example, say somebody had a high anxiety or something, was taking antidepressants.
They'll need access to that medicine in prison. Yeah, yeah.
Right, at least their treatment, right? By the same logic, you could see how, of course, prisons should be responsible for the health care these people are receiving. But, you know, it's bad politics, so to speak. But again, even that, just the fact that she did one interview where she said that and she didn't, like, completely walk it back and, you know, act like it was the worst thing she'd ever said. That's, like, the big policy of the day.
My whole issue is with that. Like, none of this is bad or crazy. Trans people exist. Gay people exist. People that are different than the norm exist. Literally all they've been asking for is just the right and space to exist like everyone else, and it became such a huge issue that now there's been like a huge overcorrection. Like, I think what people thought of when they were saying, hey, we want to exist and breathe air, was just, oh, you want to just take over. And I think people like incorrectly and purposely misconstrued that message over the years, and now you're seeing this huge overcorrection to say, okay, the woke shit's over. You see all these fucking stupid think pieces like, oh, now that Trump's president, we'll stop all the woke stuff and all that's over, be nice to each other. You have like genius level Lex Friedman saying, hey, let's all just be nice to everybody, wokeness is dead. Like, you're seeing stupid shit like that where it's like
Lex Friedman,
and it's like he's a smart guy but not really. It's like he just says smart stuff. But anyway, but you're seeing
the dumb person's idea of a smart person, bro.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of that where people are now, there's now this overcorrection now, but now you're seeing the overcorrection get into like legislation where Roe v. Wade's overturned, and where like now people are like, and now you possibly are looking at, you know, overturning like gay marriage or overturning like stuff where like, if in my head, these are things where they don't really bother anybody. They're not really getting in anybody's business. But I think, you know, the Christians, as you call it, have kind of seeped into our government. And like, you know, people like to say that we're a Christian nation, but I think we're a nation of a lot of people. And like, I don't think it's really fair to have these laws kind of go in there. But again, the Democrats kind of just kind of allowed that to kind of happen. But I don't know. Did you see it that way? Am I tripping?
No, actually, I agree with a ton of what you're saying. I do want to follow up that it's, you know, and I don't know if I should be proud of this, but I've even, like, been arguing with, like, people online about this, where it's like, okay, if you're sitting here acting like your life is bad and, like, you got problems, and somehow you think preventing gay trans people from getting, you know, their gender care and existing is going to do absolutely anything to not only improve, but even noticeably change your life, then you're fucking delusional, okay?
No, I'll take it a step further. Yeah, I'll take it a step further, Juan, before you go on. Yeah. I think if someone has to suffer for you to feel good, you're an asshole, and fuck you. And that's literally... It's even more simpler than that. Even it's like,
that's true too, and I agree with that from a moral perspective, but from a practical perspective, okay, right? Okay. These people obviously don't care about that moral side of it, right? So speaking to them from things they care about.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
If you're acting like, oh, hey, your life has problems and America is falling apart and stuff, and you think the tiny percentage of the population that is trans has anything to do with that, and that owning them and causing them to cease to exist and to hide back in the closet is going to do absolutely anything to improve your life, then fuck you, you're wrong, you're an idiot. Seriously, these people barely exist, bro. I've been in, like, Austin and stuff, some of these cities. I think I've seen, like, maybe, you know, a dozen trans people in my entire life, including, like, on TV and stuff, you know? Right. People act like this is, like, a widespread thing. Unless you're watching, like, I don't know, Pose or something, you're probably not exposed to that many trans people on TV.
But why does it feel as though that's, like... Why does it feel as though not only are they everywhere, but that they're going to take over and that they're in our schools teaching our kids that they're, like, in their bath? Like, why does it feel like they... I know it's not... But there's clearly there's been a concerted effort to make it feel like that.
This is, and this might be a little long-winded, so bear with me a little bit, Cozy.
I gotcha.
Okay, so I do think, and I even got a little bit of a conspiracy mindset about this. I'll expound about at the end a little bit. But I do think there is a cultural push to center LGBT and particularly trans issues in a way that wasn't necessarily from the Democratic Party explicitly, like the Democratic Party acting like the main officials in charge and such, but that there was this online cultural movement to try to radically center these people's voices.
Make it seem bigger than it actually was.
Not just like for people on the right exaggerating the threat, but people on the left, you know, I mean, the whole pronoun thing is a perfect example, right? Where it's how many people truly, truly are trans that we have to now generally get to the point where we have to announce our pronouns in, like, email bios and Twitter bios and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I get if it's a trans person where it's a little bit of a mix-up, maybe they can clarify it. And I'm obviously going to be nice enough to call them by their preferred pronouns and their preferred name. I'm not going to be an asshole, right? And I'll apologize if I misgender them or make a mistake.
Of course.
That's very different from, oh, now the default is that we all have to pretend that this is this widespread common thing, and so we all have to clearly announce our pronouns in silly ways so that the trans people don't feel excluded. Like, come
on. I think they incorrectly thought that what was happening. They're like, okay, we're gonna just be obtuse. Say, you want this for everybody? Now people just kind of go. They just take things to exaggerations to be just, you know, a douchebag about things. So they took they kind of took that as like, oh, you want a mile then instead of just this foot that you're clearly asking for. And no, clearly they was asking for just this little bit, but a lot of people just took that as like, oh, you want, it's almost, it reminded me of the response of the response of Black Lives Matter. When Black Lives Matter, just the term, not the organization, but the term Black Lives Matter came about, you saw people saying, well, all lives matter. It's almost as if to like quiet that down, as if to say like, no, like pipe down. It's like, but no, clearly you're not understanding the, like, the meaning behind that message. Like, you know, purposely, though.
Again, you're right, but I think, and maybe it's just, I think a big part of it is what you end up getting exposed to online these days. But I think, actually, Black Lives Matter is a great example of this, where, yes, the overall message between Black Lives Matter, fantastic.
Just the term.
The overall spirit of what was going on, you know, morally correct, that was a wonderful, awesome thing to do, right? Yep. But there were abuses, right? Yeah, you heard about some of the leaders buying houses and just using it to clearly enrich themselves, right? You saw people using that Black Lives Matter tag to push crazy racial conspiracy nonsense or race war shit. That obviously was going to clearly fan the flames and make white people pissed off.
Yeah, in order to poison it from the inside, poison what was an actually good thing from the inside. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so same with the trans movement. Overall, we want to exist. We want our right to be able to do these things our way. Okay, yeah, no, sure. Who really wants to argue against that, right?
Of course not, yeah.
Right? But some of the online discourse by these people who at least claim to be messengers of the trans folks, however you want to call it, to speak on behalf of trans folks, were a lot more radical, were a lot more nasty. Basically acted in a way that made it, one, easier to mock them, and two, easier to hate on them and to feel like they were judging you and attacking you and trying to take power and get attention rather than actually fix any real problems. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And I like to go with that too. It also kind of feels like how trying to find the wording here. With the whole racial aspect of this, and like, you're now, well, actually, it's, wow, I kind of drew a blank in a moment. I'll definitely edit this one out. But in the racial aspect of it, though, you're kind of seeing how, like, man, I straight up lost my train of thought. And I had a good point, but I lost it. All right. Oh, well.
All good, man.
But going back to how, like, this, in terms of the Democrats, I got my point now. Now I have it now. Okay. In terms of the Democrats now. So, like, you kept seeing a lot of discourse saying, oh, man, like folks kept calling us racist and misogynist for voting for Trump. So, you know, it's what you guys get. Like, you don't, like that whole thing of, like, you know, nanny nanny boo boo, you lost and here's why, like, rubbing your nose. And like, it was the whole thing of like, no, we were simply like calling out actual, like, people that are being like racist, like douchebags, and like, they were being called out and felt bad about it, and now like are kind of acting out in a way. And like, and you're kind of seeing that now, like, with how,
okay, I get where you're coming from.
Right, right. You see what I mean?
But I think my point is, and this happens on both sides, and it's a complicated issue, right? And I'll provide some examples of where it gets really complicated. But okay, so you have this nasty discourse on the left, right? Mm-hmm. And the Democratic Party wasn't particularly promoting it, but sometimes they were falling for some of the more, I mean, you know, not harmful, but goofy aspects of it. You know, if you want to talk about the black perspective, if you want to recall where Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all went all kumbaya with the African dress in Congress after George Floyd's death, it's that kind of vibe. Where Elizabeth Warren's using, my pronouns are she, her, and, you know, talking about, like, again, acting like trans people are, like, the center of the U.S. discourse, where, you know, it feels cringy. Right,
yeah, it doesn't feel genuine. Doesn't feel like actual support.
Yeah, right. What they're definitely not doing, they're doing the cringy support. They're definitely not pushing back on the toxic or nasty aspects. Right, they might not promote them, but they don't denounce them. They don't say, "No, this is bad. This is over the top. We're gonna set boundaries here. This is where we're gonna draw the line and say no." You guys went too far, right? Why don't they do that?
Yeah, like, isn't it important to not have that?
It's a complicated issue, and it happens on both sides, right? Because, okay, from a Democrat's perspective, like, say, Kamala Harris, right? You know, you never promoted these ideas. These were never your ideas. You can't control what every crazy person says online. Mm-hmm. But there's also a fine line where it's like you don't want to seem like you're just shitting on trans people in general.
Right.
Right? So you figure, oh, okay, I'll just stay quiet. And before you say, oh, no, mm-hmm. it should be easy to denounce them, okay, look at how many times right-wingers, you know, Republicans have been like, hey, Nazis and KKK is bad. And they've been like, well, you know, let's discuss it. You know what I mean? They don't, like, immediately go like, yes, obviously, Nazis and KKK are bad. They're like, hold on. Are you calling us Nazis or KKK? That's fucked up.
But that's the thing. So that part right there, if you're not racist or if you're not a douchebag, that part shouldn't dog whistle to you.
It's the implied.
Usually it should, right?
It's the implied. Okay, like if you're sitting there all casually and somebody goes like, "Oh, hey, all these racist Latinos are pieces of shit. Oh, I hate racist Latinos," and they're looking at you angry, you're like, I mean, I'm not a racist Latino. Why the fuck are you looking at me like that, right? I don't feel like being like, oh, yeah, of course racist Latinos suck. I'm like, why are you looking at me like I'm part of this crew, right? Another example that you might be more familiar with on, I guess, the leftist side is, okay, Muslims that get asked, hey, do you denounce terrorists? Do you denounce Al-Qaeda? Do you denounce Hamas? And you're like, I'm just sitting here in the U.S., you know, going to the mosque,
yeah,
just
chilling.
Sitting with my family, just chilling. Why, I mean, yeah, I don't like them, but, like, why do I have to start every conversation with, oh, I denounce Hamas, before I'm allowed to have any other opinion?
But, and I guess the part that, yeah, that makes sense, and the part that I understand is, like, they keep, you keep asking the Muslim, hey, about Hamas, you keep asking the racist person, all this stuff, and usually what happens is they feel as though they get pushed so much that they're being, like, you know, attacked, quote unquote. Not they're not really, but they feel as though they are. That they're instead of, like, looking inward and being, like, kind of reflective or whatever and not doing that, they instead lean into the negativity and say, Oh, well in that case then I'ma just be that. Well, no, you're always that. You're always a piece of shit. Like, it wasn't like you weren't pushed. That was just in you. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, but yes, I get it, like, you shouldn't call people racist and stuff. You shouldn't do that. We should never just spout that, like, hey, you're, like, unless it's for real, but, like, you know what I mean? If that's your go-to.
Here's the thing, Cozy. Okay, so say you're a Muslim. Okay, we won't talk about the white people because I can get charged and stuff, but, again, say you're a Muslim person, right?
Right.
And you just want to be a good, decent Muslim person and stuff, right? And then you hear from the radical Muslims, the bad Muslims, like, oh, hey, they'll never see you as one of them, right? They'll always see you as a terrorist. They'll always think you're trash. You'll never really be a part of them. They'll never really accept you. And you're like, no, I'm going to live my life and be reasonable and decent and live to upstanding ideals. And then you're here, you're chilling in the U.S., and all of a sudden these people come up to you and go like, hey, are you one of these terrorists? Do you out like denounce them and think they're pieces of shit? And you're like, I mean, I've been sitting here with you, working with you, living with you, buying groceries, just being a part of the community. You know what I mean? And it's like, you're still right. acting like there's a suspicion. I've done nothing. I've personally done nothing. I've, in fact, gone out of my way to stand opposed to this in my personal acts. But just because of the way you look, you're just going to look at me with suspicion and act like, you know, I'm could potentially be part of these people. So again, you all of a sudden your mind goes back to that message of the first people that goes when they said, hey, they'll always see you as a terrorist. They'll never see you as part of them. So you might not fully believe in terrorism by then, but you'll get bitter, and all of a sudden, instead of actively denouncing the terrorists, you're like, well,
I guess, or like, yeah,
maybe I'll stay quiet. Maybe I'll stay quiet.
Yeah, it's like you stay quiet, or
Or like, okay, I have to vote for somebody that kind of has ties to the terrorists. Well, I know I shouldn't, but I mean, the white people are always going to see me as a second class citizen, so. Shit, I might as well stick with my own, right?
No, you're right. You're right. And I guess the contrast then, I put up what we're seeing now. People are saying, "Oh, I voted for Trump," almost as like a gotcha. Like, oh, you. It's almost like people are treating these things that, you know, definitely will have impact on like people's lives. People are treating this kind of like, you know, a football game or like a sports team, and you know, it's gross to watch. But like, people are really like doing victory laps and like are really trying to like stick it to people where it's like. No, like it's not going to fix everything you're thinking. The people that you want to be harmed by the things that are going to happen, yeah, they will be, but so will people that you care about. It's like it's kind of short-sighted, but I can understand because the pendulum swung so far basically left, and like all this like what people call virtue signaling, which I think I hate that term because it's been abused a lot. Virtue signaling, like all this stuff, and like, you know, being different is being cool, all that stuff, you know. And now we're kind of, now we believe there's going to be a swing to the right where, you know, it's, we'll see how it goes.
See, morally, I still agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I can kind of sympathize with some of their coming from because, okay, you're telling me you haven't met some of these people, like Hollywood stars and other well-off white people that act like, oh, I have a Black Lives Matter sticker and an LGBTQ flag on my profile pic.
I'm helping.
And therefore, I'm helping and I'm a good person. I'm actively destroying the planet for the most part and being a piece of shit and not really contributing anything. But it's okay. I'm a good person and I'm awesome and I have the moral high ground because, look, I say minorities are awesome. And it's like, bro, what the fuck? We don't need you to talk for us.
But it does get score you those social points, especially if you're a celebrity. Scoring social points is like their whole thing is to score social points.
It did score social points, but it scored negative social points with a whole lot of people.
For the three other people,
Again, that was their exposure to it, right? If you're off in a little rural town, middle of nowhere, you haven't actually probably met too many trans folks. You haven't actually probably met too many Black and Latino folks. You haven't actually interacted with any of these people for the most part, right? So you have the people you trust and that look like you are telling you, these are all monsters destroying cities and raping children and being degenerates. And then the only people you're exposed to that are on the other side, the celebrities, are clearly just doing it, you know, to virtue signal and to get, you know, social cookie points. And they don't actually care about any of these problems. They're just trying to make you feel bad for not agreeing with them, even though they're a big part of the problem themselves. And they have, you know, Mexican maids and, you know, Black servants and whatever else, right? They're not actually helping. George Clooney isn't actually solving fucking anything, right? He's just sitting there acting all smug.
It makes you feel good, though. Yeah, it makes you feel good, though.
They're acting all smug about how superior and enlightened they are while they're the ones causing this inequality and having all these other problems. So again, the only person you really see advocating for these social issues, if you're this guy in this rural small town, is George Clooney and, I don't know, Julia Roberts or whoever else, Whoopi Goldberg, talking about their issues while they live off in a mansion with millions of dollars, you know,
like they could, I think I see what you mean. They're able to talk about these issues, but they still have the luxury of being shielded from, like, you know, those same issues, essentially.
Yeah, it comes across as disingenuous, right? It's very different when you actually talk to a working class Latino or black person, when you actually meet these people, suddenly they realize, hey, these people are a lot more like us than we realize. We even go to similar churches. We both think our bosses are assholes who aren't paying us enough. We're both trying to make ends meet, right? There's a lot more relatability there when you actually turn out and meet them. So it's like, oh, yeah, of course black people aren't bad. I've met Kosi, and Kosi's a great guy. Why would I think black people are bad, right? And it's not just Kosi. It's multiple people. It's all kinds of people, right? You just see that it's a wide variety. You see that there's some black people that you still don't like after the fact, but you just notice, hey, it's just because those particular black people suck and not because all black people are awful, right?
Yeah, and I think it's just easier for, I think, a stupid person, and I'll say that, I'll keep saying that because this is true, it's easier for a stupid person to just say, okay, all black folks are like that, instead of saying, well, maybe I gotta meet some more. Maybe stupid is harsh, because maybe you just don't get out much. Some people just don't get out much, and maybe if you're in a rural town and your only two encounters with black folks, God forbid, has just been bad, then okay, I can definitely see how you're, like your rose-tinted glasses are having done.
You know,
but
what?
If you're, but hold on a second. But like, if you've been around, if you're like innocent, like most people out there, basically if you vote and whatnot, most people out there live in America. Like, you're around a lot of people. You're around a lot of different people. You understand that there are other people out there. Just from a human level, there are other people that aren't like you that deserve the same rights as you. It's just from like a basic level. What happened is that a lot of people just felt as though that they are the norm, that they are what is normal, and they are the standard, and everything else is the outgroup, and they need to stay the outgroup. And so there's now been a clear line drawn where, you know, there's definitely an in-group and definitely an out-group now that we're seeing. And I think that's dangerous, and I think calling people that want to just live and breathe and exist the out-group now is very, very damaging and very harmful, because that's just not true. I think we can all get along, get together, but like, some folks just, like, it's not enough that we can get along. Some folks just don't want people to be there. Like, just they don't even have to be there. They can just be thinking about you and they say, I want you out of here. And that's the issue that we're seeing, I think. And like, it's very, very harmful. And like, you know, folks are fed up with having to put up with that. I could see that. But I think, you know, it's detrimental to, you know, our nation, I think. But I don't know.
And you know what I think is telling about what you just said, Kosi? That I'm pretty sure you were talking about people who don't want, you know, black folks and minorities to exist. But I'm also pretty sure a lot of white folks have felt that, you know, again, maybe not the actual Democratic Party, but culturally, there's this feeling of, oh, who cares about white folks, or, oh, white people are the privileged other, or, oh, we're all standing up against white men. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the thing is, because a poor white guy is like, where can I get that privilege? Because privilege that we think of is really white, middle, upper class, rich privilege that you see. Those poor white people are kind of getting treated the same way. And the messed up part is the people up at the top understand that. They just don't want the poor black people and the poor white people to, like, get together. But, because Lyndon Baines Johnson, who is a historic bitch, I hate that dude, I'm glad he's dead, he's quoted as saying, hey, if you can convince, like, the poorest white guy that he's better than the poorest black person, like, then you've got him as a voter for, like, forever or whatever, just to, like, paraphrase this stupid motherfuckers.
To be fair, like, I actually think, I mean, he's the one guy that started to sign the voting, the Civil Rights Act. I do think that quote was calling out his opponents that were doing that, and not something he was proposing.
You see, I've heard that too, but I think he was just, I don't think he believed it. I think he was just doing it to score points with, like, people. I've heard that too.
I could see how. Again, he was, he was like a lot of other white liberals, he was just saying that to gain convenience and to gain power. He didn't really believe that.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can definitely see.
But I do want to say, going back to the overall point, as far as what the Democratic Party can do, I do think there was a heavy failure of messaging in the way this happened. In the sense that it wasn't like, hey, we got to make sure, or like, you know, in the 90s, there was a lot of this melting pot talk and that we're past race and stuff. And that was maybe too optimistic, right? But at some point, the goal, instead of becoming like, oh, hey, look, we got to like promote black experiences so that we can, or like the black experience with the Latino experience and their culture and stuff, so that we can all see how wonderful everything is. It was almost like, oh, what do you mean the Oscars went to a white person instead of a black person? Not enough black people are getting Oscars, so we need to have removed the, we need to have less white people getting Oscars so some of the black people can get some. You know what I mean?
I think that's somebody who didn't understand what the hell the problem was. That's what it is. I think an actual... That's something that a white person who's trying to win favor with black people would do. Essentially, an actual black person will say, hey, there's an issue. Let's try to just make it to where, you know, there's more room for opportunity instead of like twisting the opportunity. That's why I don't like, if you ask a lot of black people, we're not just black people, just minorities. We don't need a handout. We just make it to where, you know, we can just freaking, you know, But yeah.
Yeah, right, like Jordan Peele wants to make a movie with all black people. Okay, he should be able to get good funding and tell that story and, you know, have it get its you know, commendation and its respect. And it did, and that's a wonderful way to go about it.
Martin Scorsese has made movies with white folks his entire life, and no one cared. Yeah. They applauded him for it.
Exactly. No, and, you know, again, that's a good thing. Or a movie like Encanto or like Coco. It's a great way to show Mexican culture where it doesn't feel like a zero-sum game, where it has to be, oh, you have to have Encanto or you have to have, I don't know, Luca, the European Italian.
I think the Italian people,
right?
Yeah.
Like, they can both exist, right? They should both be valuable and both be great. And I think there was a little bit too much of, oh, white people got it too good for too long, so now we have to like
get back.
Yeah, right. Like shit like that. It's like, okay, but if you do that, of course the white people are gonna feel attacked.
They're gonna get mad. They'll feel resentful. And I think a lot of minorities that I've talked to, the sentiment when you say that is like, well, who cares? Like, they've had this upper hand. Why not us now? My thing is like, yeah, I get it. But like, if you really want actual, like, generational change, like, that's going to be like generational change won't happen. It won't come from just you getting your lick back. Cause then you've just created another, like, confused, angry person out there who doesn't know what's I think you nailed it right there with that point.
And to be okay, here's another thing where we have to be a little bit realistic about what the situation is, right? Okay, right. We can call America a melting pot, but whatever else we want to say, it's a majority white country. It is a country that was mostly started by white people, and most of the minorities that aren't black, at least, you know, came from other countries purposely to emigrate.
Well,
as a Latino, most Asian folks, and all that stuff, we purposely came to what we knew was a white country. Does that make sense?
Right.
I don't know. It just feels kind of like, oh, we're gonna come into your house and ask you to put us above you. Like, give us all respect, give us our room, give us our fairness and our real laws. But of course we can't be like, oh, no, we have to actually prioritize our needs over yours. Like, come on, bro. Like,
you're totally right. And that was actually the problem with the term All Lives Matter. Because All Lives Matter, the people, whoever came up with that term, thought immediately that when you say Black Lives Matter, it means only Black Lives Matter, which is not true at all. You're just saying it as a fact that they matter, and we felt that they haven't matter. It's kind of like this example. Actually, this is great. So imagine one, like, imagine somebody is at their funeral for their deceased grandma. Oh my God, grandma, she was taken from us so soon. Oh my God, we're all crying at the funeral. We're crying. And then imagine somebody walking by and is like, what the fuck? My grandma died. All dead grandmas matter. What are y'all doing? Like, that's literally what All Lives Matter is. That's literally what All Lives Matter is. It's like, you're not even, like, looking at me. You're just going, yes, All Lives Matter. Yes, of course. But you're being obtuse, purposely obtuse. And that's what I hated about that. And that's what you're seeing now with this almost, like, this, again, pendulum swing. It's a lot of just purposeful obtuseness.
I'm sure a lot of people in the trans community are feeling the same way you're feeling, where it's like, we're just trying to exist. Why, you know, why are you acting like we need to, like we're trying to transform your kids, or like we have an agenda to, you know what I mean, to twist your kids and turn them trans against your will?
It goes back to the point you made, like maybe there's been a concerted effort to like make that the case. Like if
sometimes
you talk to a lot,
I wonder. Sometimes that was one of the conspiracies I was going to bring up. I kind of mentioned this earlier. Sometimes I wonder if some of the most extreme, because there was at least some evidence shown that some of the more extreme Black Lives Matter social media sites were, you know, Russian agents.
Were Russian, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a site called, I don't know, I can't remember if it was Blackish or something, that would pop up on Facebook and just like wild, nasty shit. Like making it be like, oh yeah, white people are all the worst and the worst thing in existence, and us Black people have to center, like, and take over. You know what I mean? Just like, yeah. Like fiery, like, oh, of course,
scorched earth stuff. Yeah, like normal person would say this.
People pissed off, and yeah. And of course, we can't vote for the Democrats because they're also race traitors, and we can. You know what I mean? Like, just like, okay, come on, man.
I know some Nation of Islam people personally that are like that, and they're insufferable.
So, you know, so some of that turned out to be, you know, Russian agents. Some of that turned out to be foreign influence campaigns. I honestly think one of my pet theories, and I'm sure I'm going to offend some people with this, but you remember when it started getting popular on like Tumblr and some of the wilder corner of the internet, that there was like, you know, like dozen plus genders, like dozens of genders, whole sheets of them with all made up pronouns and stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you know how, like, okay, that came out, was a big thing for a little bit, and then it kind of just suddenly disappeared and hasn't, you know, really hear people say that shit anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, keep in mind, gay people and trans people have been subjugated, discriminated against, and told to stay in the closet, had to deal with AIDS, had all these reasons to simply change their mind and not do things if they were just doing it for attention.
Or fat, or just to
screw around, or because, or you know what I mean? Like, they have infinite motivation to just be normal and just to be a part of society, and exactly zero, almost zero, and nowadays maybe there's a little bit more, but almost zero encouragement or real push for them to encourage this. Keep in mind that trans and gay folks have existed across cultures for generations and millennia. Keep in mind there's even gay animals in nature, and that even like we talked to frogs earlier, there's at least some kind of trans animals, and I know not mammals, and I don't want to get too into the science of it, but it's not a totally alien concept in nature.
It's not unnatural as like the Bible would make you believe.
Right. So with all this being said, you know, you can say it's not a fad, right? You know, we can say, oh, hey, there's people been since the 70s fighting for trans rights, right? And people, again, from millennia and different cultures and stuff. Now, this 26 gender shit, that was a fad, right? You don't hear anybody saying that shit. Maybe, like, in the deepest corners of the internet. But it's not at all, like, a popular thing to hear, right?
You know what's funny, like, about the pronoun stuff, too, and all that? Like, I have only seen, like white, like straight people, like put that like on their email handles or on their Twitter handle. Like, you really only, primarily only seen that from like as like solidarity for them. But I haven't seen an actual like.
I was kind of on my point earlier that it's a goofy thing, you know, straight people do to act like it's a big deal, and it just comes off as disingenuous. right? Like, if a trans person wants to do it just to make sure, that's one thing. But it's like, oh, we gotta all do it so they don't feel left out. It's like, come on, bro. It just feels dumb. It just feels goofy. Again, it doesn't feel like it's actually helping anybody. It just feels like you're doing it to feel better about yourself. But anyways, my point with all this is that how do we know that these crazy online people making up all these genders that suddenly, again, they matter to them so little that after like a year or two at most, they all stop bothering with it and they all stop using these weird pronouns. And I mean, what would it even mean to identify as a gender that doesn't even previously exist? Right? Like, are you just making them things to identify with? Like, dude, what does that mean? Right? My point with all that is, you know, how do we know it wasn't just, I don't know if Russian actors, but I don't know, how do we know it wasn't just people trying to push a message and trying to make trans folks and trans issues seem ridiculous so that people can make the joke, oh, I identify as an Apache helicopter gender, or, oh, how many genders are there? There are two genders, you know, like dumb shit like that. Again, it's, you know, make it seem like the other side has some absurd, over-the-top argument that nobody could possibly believe in, so that the much more reasonable argument and mild and stuff that most people could agree with gets lumped in with the loonies and the crazies. Does that make sense? Hello? Kosi, you're muted, bro.
I'm muted. I've been talking. It's a great way to make the whole thing all scorched earth. Like if you make the whole pool poison, now everything coming from that pool is poison, and now I won't believe anything, or the whole thing is ridiculous. Yeah, I could easily just throw the whole thing away. Which, for people that don't understand, if you can quickly like package it in a way to be like, it's just this. Oh, I can just throw it away. Oh, I'm just some suburban mom who doesn't read this stuff. Oh. They're trying to turn my kid gay. I have a kid. I don't want that. Let me just wash this away. Like it's easy, and like it's it, and you're able to, you know, to Trojan horse feed people this bad information. It's fascinating, really.
For sure. Okay, one last thing I wanted to touch on because this went a little long. About what the Democrats, the other big topic. Is the woke stuff, right? That the Democrats went too woke and that's why they lost. And we discussed some of that. It's mixed. Let's put it that way. But
I really want to make a point of this. You know what's kind of messed up? Like language, it's ever changing. You know, things, something that meant something 10 years ago doesn't mean something now. 10 years ago, if you said something was gay, you know, that's meant, oh, it's not cool, but now it's totally different. But the term you said, woke, it really was a term that was used in the Black community to really describe being aware and attuned to, you know, like inequalities and mess up things in our culture, you know, striving to fight that stuff. And now it's been co-opted by Joe Rogan and friends to mean anything I don't like or understand. So much so that like it's gone into Congress and now it's gone into like it's everywhere now. And it actually kinda shows that like people are still taken from not just Black folks, but there's people still take from folks that they don't understand and like try to mix it and remix it in a way to, you know, do nefarious stuff. And it's just I fucking hate that.
Not that they don't understand it. It's part of the game plan, Kosi.
Yeah, right? It's being obtuse.
It's not obtuse. It's okay. It's meant to be actively demotivating for you, right? It's meant to be like, oh, look how easy it is for us to take this word and this stuff that's valuable to you and that you care about and twist it for our own ends. And then you naturally, the response of a Black person who had been using woke and stuff, once they saw white people trying to co-opt it for their own nefarious ends, it's going to be like, no, woke means this. This is what woke means. I'm not going to let it go. This is my word, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? Now you're trying to claim woke while they're defining it as this bad thing. So you're sitting there probably saying, no, woke is a black word, this is what it means. And they're saying, oh, yes, it is a black word, but here is what we say it means. Oh, yeah. Don't listen to what they say it means. So yeah. it's part of the trap. And of course, it demotivates you because you're like, hey, this was our idea, this was our thing, this was our thing we liked and that we wanted to promote and treasure. And now we have to give it up because these people have effectively turned our words against us and made it seem like our words, you know, are an attack on other people.
And it's not
meant to be motivating.
No, and it's crazy. It's even crazier than that. It's like not even a thing we treasure. It's more so to explain what's happening in what you just described, like a system of inequality and things that happen that and you being aware of that. They're taking that and almost mocking it. They understand there's inequality. They know you can't do anything about it, and they're going to mock it and say, oh, it's just, you're just, oh, you, like, so you want to have a black mermaid? Oh, that's just woke. Oh, you want to talk about the Tulsa massacre? Oh, that's woke. Oh, you want to say that actually, no, really, 6 million Jews were killed? Oh, you're just being woke. It's like, it's now become a thing to where you can just kind of like, win an internet argument, because that's become the thing now. We want to win an argument on the internet. And so, like, it's just, yeah, you're right, it's disheartening.
You know what, they did that, they kind of did, I know it's not as loaded, obviously, but they kind of did that with the OK symbol, where you put your index finger in a circle and you put your three fingers up. I've been doing that my whole life, right?
Oh my God,
like a normal, especially, I don't know if it's maybe it's more common in other countries, but you know, for me, it's like, oh, yeah, of course, okay. Or it's like, if you turn it upside down, it's like, you know, when you're playing the game, like, oh, if you look at this,
From
Malcolm in the Middle, right? So, like, popular ass thing forever, and oh, all of a sudden the news is saying that it's a, you know, right wing terrorist symbol for white supremacists.
Yeah.
That's part of the plan. Get these people being like, oh, look at what these terrorists are using. And you're like, but I like using this. I like using this symbol. Why would I stop using it? That's stupid. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, does that mean you like white terrorists? And guess what?
Now you're
like, hey, you know what? Joe Rogan was right. These people are crazy and just want to virtue signal and just want to call people out and be stupid. I'm not sitting here doing anything wrong. I guess I'm going to go join up with Joe Rogan and company.
Yeah, even though I may not be racist, or maybe a little bit, but it's okay.
I don't really agree with them, but like these other people are telling me they hate me.
Yeah,
I don't want to, you know, team up with people who hate me, so I'm going to go up with the people who say I'm cool.
Yeah, I don't want to go where I'm tolerated. I want to go where I'm appreciated. So, yeah, it's and I think, again, I know we're wrapping it up, but that's where I think Kamala kind of, I wish she had gone this route. Like, President Trump, J.D. Vance, they kind of did an incredible, like, almost like blitz of just like, getting interviews with, like, let's call it like the podcast bro manosphere guys. So everyone from Joe Rogan to Theo Von to Flaker with Andrew Schultz and Akash Singh, like they're on there. While Kamala Harris went on SNL, she went on Club Shay Shay. She also went on
Howard
Stern, yeah.
Like Joe Rogan before Joe Rogan, you know.
Right, right.
Like Joe Rogan before people.
Right. And so what we're seeing is like a lot of like younger Gen Z, younger white males, there's an uptick in like they're voting and, you know, voting for Trump. And a lot of the time, like you see, like Andrew Schultz even said himself, like he feels as though like channels like his and Rogan's help like bolster that and like get those views. And I really think that Kamala, had she gone on a Rogan, I would have loved to have seen her go on a Rogan or go on a Flagrant. Granted, I think it wouldn't have gone the way Rogan's interview with Trump went, all buddy-buddy. I think Rogan, not to say Rogan would have done this, but he definitely would have not been as... Because he definitely... He generally likes Trump. He generally likes to hang out with Trump. I think with Kamala, he more so wants to figure her out and figure out what she's about instead of just like also, hanging out with a friend.
I gotta call it out. You know, I actually happened to look it up before the show... 90% of Joe Rogan's guests have been men.
90%?
Yeah. Oh, wow. 90%. You know, it's not entirely surprising that a woman wouldn't feel super comfortable and excited to go on the Joe Rogan podcast.
And it's funny, and then to, like, be like, and then to cheer at her and be like, what you scared for? What you scared? It's like, you're almost proving her point as to why she wouldn't go on there.
Yeah,
that's funny you say that.
Because Trump gets on, and even though Joe has supposedly shit on Trump before, it's all dirty money.
He's kind of supposedly swept it under the rug. He's full. He's a full Trump right now. Yeah. It's fine.
And then there's been other moments where, like, I even saw clips where it's like Joe Rogan asking, "Okay, Trump, give me your version, all uninterrupted, clearly. Tell me how the election was stolen." And I was like, "Well, Joe, I'll give you some papers in 2 weeks."
Yep. And Joe's
you had 4 years.
And Joe's cool.
Like, "Oh, all that makes sense. That makes sense. That's all I need to hear."
Yeah, man. Why would he have them now? He wouldn't.
Yeah.
He wouldn't lie to me to get my vote because I have a huge viewer base.
There's no pushback, but you know, if Kamala is sitting there saying, "Oh, I support LGBT folks." Oh, okay, so you want kitty litters in schools? And it's like, "No, Joe, that never happened." No. Jamie, pull that up. I know that happened.
Joe, you do not have a friend that is a teacher that thought that. You're lying. Like, that one in particular was a straight up lie, which would have been hilarious if she had actually refuted it. I see what you mean.
It wouldn't have been a fun, friendly interview, so it's like...
Yeah, I definitely still...
I kind of see where she's coming from.
Yeah, I still think she would have definitely... It definitely would have benefited her to, like, try to convince those people.
Who should have gone on?
Waltz would have fit in perfectly with Rogan.
Frankly, I think it's because he made a couple of misstatements and said a couple of dumb things he shouldn't have. They kind of got frustrated with him, low key.
Is that all it takes?
Hit him a little bit, because they like their discipline. They like their on brand messaging. He said something about how the Electoral College is bullshit.
Go on.
Yeah, but no, you know what? The funny thing is, again, that grabs energy. That grabs attention from the kind of people who, in theory, sat out. But it's like, oh no, we got to get Liz Cheney out there. In hindsight, I think that was a mistake.
Yeah, like, get him out there. It's fine because, they're them saying, "Oh, you didn't say anything PC." Yeah, but Democrats,
Pete Buttigieg needed to go on Joe Rogan.
Buttigieg. No, but I think it's kind of unfair. It's like, all right, so you're saying the Democrats have to make sure they run this tight ship, but you have freaking Donald Trump who's able to just not, and he's not being held to this standard.
Needed to be perfect. She needed to have all of those policies that solved everything in great detail. She needed to also be personable and be great in a live interview and do absolutely everything perfectly. And Trump just needed to stay awake and not drool in front of people, and that was enough.
And I think that's a stipulation that Democrats posed upon themselves. They really could have had Kamala still have all the stuff. Hey, have all your policy, but take the gloves off and kind of like go off script a little bit. Not off script, because not like that, but like, be, unconventional, because that's what was needed. And they kind of just stuck to the game plan from, as you said before, 8 years ago. And it's like, now here you are. Okay. But one, before we leave, optimism. We need
I wanted to talk about one last major issue, and we'll try to wrap this up because
let's be honest. We're not going to wrap up soon. But go on.
Yeah, but okay. So the other main topic of the Democrats of why they lost, that they're supposedly, and Bernie Sanders is the leading proponent of this, that Democrats abandoned the working class, that they don't care about them enough, that they care too much about the donor class, that they should have elected Bernie all along. Right, that's been the other topic, right? The woke, and obviously some of the woke stuff might affect us a little more personally, us both being, people of color.
Right, but it won't affect them like that, yeah.
But there was a big part of the party, and again, Bernie himself came out with a scathing letter being like, "Hey, the Democrats, of course, lost because they abandoned who they're supposed to be working for, and they're crap, and they just keep trying to promote these corporate overlords instead of promoting working class folks who are trying to make ends meet, and that's why they lost." And that wasn't Trump or anybody else saying that. That was Bernie Sanders himself saying that, right?
Right.
So that's the other big, big topic of discussion. I obviously got some big thoughts on it, but Kosi, anything you want to kind of jump in there with?
No, like, I think, no, you kind of hit the nail on the head, too. I think with, I think to go into just wrapping it up then, I think what happened here is we're seeing how the Republicans, everyone kind of fell in line with, like, all their stuff. There wasn't much, you know, infighting or, like, you know, confusion or whatever. But the Democrats, you're seeing, there was almost, like, you know, they're almost too careful. And they're almost, they're almost, like, too confident, or, like, you know, nothing's going to go wrong. We've done this how many times? It's going to be like this going forward. And they really did rest in their laurels and just figured that, you know, certain things will go the way that they would go. And I think, I really do hope that this, I really hope that what happened here energized some hungry Democrat out there, because, you know, now Trump, now the Republicans have both the House and the Senate. Yeah. So for the next 4 years, Democrats can't say nothing. It's just, we got to just do what the Republicans say. So I just hope, at least, to be optimistic that this, what transpired, has motivated a group of hungry Democrats who want to see this change, who want to, you know, see actual change happen, but. For lack of a better word, they don't want to be assholes about it. To make it happen. I know it's
Would you say? I can see where you're coming from, but as far as more specifics, what would you say as far as like the kind of Bernie argument that it's not just having more passion that we got to center, I guess, more working class policy. I guess fall on the argument that Democrats fucked up that not picking Bernie essentially.
I think, I definitely agree with that. I think instead of, like, I think they thought they just had the working class people, like, in the bag, essentially, and just assumed that stuff like identity politics, you know, which I hate that term, but, like, stuff like that, like, you know, like getting stuff like abortion stuff, they thought that stuff would matter more to the average voter, especially they thought, like, with women, with, like, that was a whole thing with Roe v. Wade, like, hey, this is the man that overturned Roe v. Wade, so a vote for Trump is a vote, like, for, like, Roe v. Wade. And, like, we saw, like, no, there's still a sizable amount of women that voted for him, so that really wasn't a deal breaker. So, like, I don't know, like, the thing with Bernie, like, I remember back in 2016, like, there was that, like, famously, they kind of just, like, squeezed him out because he wasn't playing ball. And so I think that's their issue.
Well, okay, so I see. I'm gonna have to push back on that last little bit real quick.
Well, isn't that what happened? I could be wrong.
Okay, so let's take it back to what happened. 2016, Obama had just finished his 8-year run, right? You would think, you know, since a president can't run again, you know, it's an open presidency, right? So you would think there would have been an open primary, right? Like, okay, let's see the future of the Democratic Party. Let's see the best people come forward. It doesn't have to be a clown show, 20 people like there were in 2020 or 2016 on the Republican side. But, you know, basically what happened was Obama came out and the major Democrats came out and said, no, Hillary Clinton is the heir apparent. Nobody else really needs to run against her. We're all supporting her. She's 100% of the Democratic Party is behind her. She's going to be the nominee, right?
Right.
Now, Bernie was, he's pretty sure, he was already in his 70s. So he was this really old dude this old dude from Vermont, independent, not on part of the Democratic Party, independent. Dude who had been very sympathetic to Castro, to Chavez, even to the Soviet Republic, ran a bunch of wild hippie shit. Yes, he'd been a consistent advocate for the working class and for minorities and stuff, marched with, you know, Martin Luther King and whatnot. You know, idea in the right place as far as, you know, wanting to do good for people, but basically no accomplishments in his entire time in Congress. Didn't really was so poor at working with anyone. He didn't even call himself a Democrat. You know, he would kind of caucus with them and vote with them when it came down to it, like for like important things. But went out of his way to be like, no, I'm independent. I'm not part of the Democratic Party. Right? His entire career. So he decides, again, after having made no allies in the Senate in his entire time there, doing really nothing to push any of his ideals forward, he's like, okay, I'm going to run for president.
Okay. Right?
Okay, so and he was a U.S. senator, right? It's better than Trump and some of these other people running after being actors and literal nobodies, right? But still, was not like some guy, you know, who frankly, it's not exactly surprising why nobody in the Democratic Party went out of their way, like the main institution of the DNC. I'm like, oh yeah, of course we got to make sure, you know, Bernie wins this, right? Like,
right.
He wasn't even part of the party, right? He was literally a guy who would attack Democrats just as often, not quite just as often, but pretty damn often as much as he had attacked Republicans, right? He called them all the establishment. Said again a bunch of wild things. Keep in mind, they called Obama a socialist, and he was a borderline conservative by today's standards. Right? Like economically, right. He didn't like go out and do any kind of communist shit. And then, you know, even he called him a communist. Kamala Harris was going to unleash communist hell, even though she wasn't really having any communist plans. Every Democrat that comes out is, you know, unleashing communist hell and a socialist, right? So, right. What would it look like if you had an actual person who was an actual socialist and had actually praised communist countries that had completely fallen apart? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I mean, we'll never know, I suppose. Mm. Okay. But the argument that a bunch of people who voted for Trump hating communism would have been like, you know what, I'm going to vote for the socialist instead, is at least somewhat questionable, right? Which is the premise, right? The premise is that people who would have voted for Trump would have liked Bernie instead.
Oh.
Right? Okay. Honestly, I feel like you could make a better argument with that, with the fact that he was a man and that Kamala and Hillary are women.
Yeah.
A chunk of people would have been like, yeah, of course I'll vote for a man. I feel like that's a more convincing argument than, that voted for the hardest capitalism candidate ever secretly wanted socialism. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I also guarantee you that all the people that switched over, all the suburban Republicans that had mostly voted Republicans but hated Trump and that decided to either stay home or vote for Kamala or vote for Hillary, I guarantee you none of those people vote for Bernie. Okay? None of them.
Interesting. Yeah. Actually, no. After the way you word it that way, I can see.
Yeah.
I can see
Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger are not voting for Bernie. Okay? I'll tell you that right now. They are not teaming up with these people. Right? Again, he had no real allies in Washington because he was just a stubborn dude who said, no, we're doing this my way or we're just not doing anything. Right? Which is not really the kind of guy you want as a president, to be quite frank. He ran. Okay, so the big thing, that the Democrats, you know. Okay, so the big argument that the Democrats held them back is that they didn't hold too many debates, and that the debates they did hold, a couple of them they held at the same time as Sunday Night Football when they weren't going to get good ratings, and that they didn't actively advertise Bernie's positions. But come on, man, that's not a conspiracy. That's why would they have done that, right? The debates never get a lot of attention. Primary debates only get attention from a tiny percentage of the electorate that really likes politics. Most people don't really give a fuck. Right, Bernie had no name recognition, whereas Hillary Clinton had a ton. A lot of people on the Democrat side did like Hillary Clinton. Let's not forget that she got more votes than Trump did by more Trump. She beat Trump by more votes
in the popular vote, right?
Yeah,
in the popular vote. Okay.
Yeah, she beat Trump by more votes in the popular vote than Trump did Kamala this year. Just so like more Americans thought she was fit to be president than
Kamala. You know,
than Trump specifically.
Trump, right. Okay.
Right. She lost because of a quirk of the Electoral College. So again, the whole thing, he got gypped and the Democratic, the DNC didn't go out of their way to promote him, but, you know, the RNC didn't go out of their way to promote Trump either, and he still won. It's not like they actively sabotaged him and said, no, Bernie's not allowed to run, or we're going to take his name off the ballot, or we're going to have zero debates, or any of this stuff. No, none of that stuff happened. It was just literally they didn't go out of their way to hand it to him. They wanted it to be Hillary, and then they gave him his chance, but then he lost by like 70% of the vote. You know, so what were they supposed to do? I mean, people really want the Democrats to be like, no, we should have actually put all our effort, like we should have told Hillary to sit out, basically. Right? That's essentially what people are coming down to. We should have told Hillary to sit out, which, again, you know, doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't, yeah. Now, why?
And then again, 2020, there was like 10 Democrats out there, right? There was a bunch of people. Bernie actually took the lead early on. And then the more moderate Democrats were like, well, we don't want Bernie because we don't agree with his policies or his worldview, so we're going to drop out and endorse Biden. And somehow this very normal thing that, you know, primary candidates have always done for all of eternity, you know, plenty of people endorse other candidates when Republicans dropped out of primaries. It's always happened in every primary ever. Suddenly, you know, Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar endorsing Biden meant that the DNC was robbing Sanders again. He had his full chance. There was debates in front of everybody. Everybody got to see him speak. Everybody got to hear his message, right? There was plenty of advertisement. He had lots of money from small donors. He didn't have any disadvantages. The only disadvantage he supposedly had is that the DNC didn't be like, no, Biden, go sit down. We're giving this to Bernie. Like, the people complaining that the DNC rigged it against Bernie are actually complaining that the DNC didn't rig it for Bernie.
That's my point. I've never heard of that.
They wanted the DNC to have advertisements for Bernie. They wanted Bernie. The DNC to support Bernie.
Okay.
Just because that's the guy they wanted.
Not on any. Okay.
Like in 2020, okay. Again, like they could have said, yeah, you know, we're in favor of Biden, but we're giving Bernie his full chance. Are we supposed to just say we're not in favor? Is that cheating? You know, like, is Obama not to say he has a lot of to say he has a preference? You know what I mean? It's not like a big nefarious thing. People have preferences, and Bernie's own fault for not having any allies in Congress his entire time there, not even willing to call himself a Democrat just because his pride got in the way. You know what I mean? Like, think about that honestly. Think about coming in as independent and being like, no, you guys need to actively support me and push me to the lead. What I mean, we'll let you do this, but we're not going to actively help you.
Actively help, yeah. Okay, and in your estimation, that doesn't count as straight up like, oh, we're trying to just sabotage. It's just like, oh, that's just like what happened.
I mean, you know, that's just part of the game.
So what happened?
Like, the RNC never actively supported Trump until he took over the whole party, right? If you want to be an outsider who takes over the guys who have been there forever, they give you the chance to do that, but they're not going to do it for you.
Right.
They're not just going to hand it to you.
Right.
And again, the whole premise is that if they had done it, Bernie would have beaten Trump. And again, as we talked about earlier, the idea that for sure a bunch of people were about to... And I'll tell you right now, Cozy, most Latin Americans, it depends, but most, at least Venezuelans, Colombians, Cubans, quite a few, even like a lot of the legal Mexicans, they see socialism as a dirty word, right? They hear CNN and they call it the Communist News Network. Right there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they are not the kind of people who would have taken a guy that actively praised Chavez and been like, "Yep, that's the guy that's going to fix the economy."
Yeah, because they come from that area. They've seen that firsthand. So they don't want to repeat anything that even smells like that. They're like,
"Yeah, exactly." He's an idiot. They're making think he's an idiot. Right. So, and again, a big part of being a presidency is leadership, is coalition building, it's spreading your message across. Bernie's whole, oh, I'm going to be an angry old grandpa who's stubborn and doesn't do anything anyone else says. Okay, that works if you're super shameless like Trump and willing to just cheat the system and take advantage of people. But if you're just this old man who wants to be pure of heart and not do any cheating and do everything the absolute right way, you know, eventually you just become the stubborn old man nobody pays attention to.
But it's hard. His heart was in the right place, but he kind of grew into the old man that yelled at the cloud, basically.
Yeah, like compromise is not a dirty word, bro. Yeah, you can't compromise.
Yeah,
you can't compromise, you know, with like the KKK, but you have to be able to compromise with some level
a free market, some level. You know, you can't just beat America bad for 50 years and then be shocked when, you know, 50% of the country doesn't want to vote for you.
Exactly.
I mean, again, we'll never know. But you know what? My actual.
But
you know who I'm actually pissed in 2016? Who actually did have the DNC stand against him and screw him out of any chance of the nomination? Who actually did have the DNC openly shut him down and tell him not to run?
Who?
Joe Biden.
Oh.
Joe motherfucking Biden didn't run in 2016 because everybody was told, no, it's Hillary Clinton's turn. She has to run. Not just Joe Biden. Any other Democrat, serious Democrat that was actually part of the Democratic Party, that was an actual mainstream Democrat, they all basically said, nah, I'm not going to run because the Clintons will punish me if when they win, right? They all expect us to fall in line. It's Hillary's turn. Obama said it's Hillary's turn, so we all just have to sit out and let this happen. Guess what? There's an incredibly good chance Joe Biden beats Donald Trump in 2016. He would have been a likable part of Obama's administration, right?
Yeah, obviously, wouldn't have been a man. Obama. Yeah, just came off of 8 years.
Wouldn't have had the baggage Hillary had from the Clinton stuff and from Bill Clinton in the 90s. Likable old dude who was the first guy to push for gay rights, so even some of the more liberal folks would have liked him at the time. Much more personable than Hillary was. Also, his son died, which obviously is a tragedy, but I mean, probably would help them get some votes.
Yeah, right? just sympathy votes. Yeah, for sure,
There's like some people were like, oh man, shit, Joe Biden is still running for president and willing to sacrifice for his country with his son dead? I mean, shit, my son died too, I'll vote for him. I'm crying right now. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be too cynical, but like, I'm pretty sure Joe Biden wins in 2016, bro.
But Juan, literally, I'm going to have to stop you because if you'll keep going for another 30 minutes.
No, you're
now,
right.
In terms of optimism, because, you know, we can't just, there has to be silver lining somehow, you know, we gotta hope that Trump's in office, the Republicans have House and Senate. We have to at least hope that things will be okay. Do you think that it'll be the case? At how things are.
So from a policy perspective and a numbers perspective, a couple of heartening statistics, or at least heartening numbers in Congress. Mm-hmm. Republicans lost seats in the House, right? They kept the majority, but their majority shrunk. We've already seen that they've had some trouble, you know, getting together and not being a whole clown show about things.
Right.
There's going to be at least some who are going to be pressured to not fall for the most crazy things Trump does. We'll probably support him when he does tax cuts and a bunch of other stuff, but I'll be like, okay, maybe I don't want to vote for crazy tariffs or deporting every illegal immigrant or giving him power for life.
Right.
Maybe a little too much. I get reelected in 2 years. Maybe I don't want to face people trying to be like, oh, why'd you vote for Trump to be a dictator for life?
Right.
So there's that. So there's the fact that it's a slim majority, so that's going to at least harm them some. There's also the fact that the Senate is a bigger majority, unfortunately. I think it's 53 to 47, so they did pick up a couple of votes. But there are several people in the Senate who have a history of standing up to Trump. Mitt Romney's still there. Mitch McConnell's technically still there for a little bit longer. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, I think their names are. There's a couple of people. Trump didn't get his preferred Senate majority leader. They voted who actually for Mitch McConnell voted for. The Senate in general tends to pride itself on being a powerful, independent body. And there's not a ton Trump can actively do to harm them unless he goes full crazy dictator and orders the military or the FBI to do some crazy shit, which is doubtful they would follow.
Okay, yeah, you see a lot of folks are kind of scared that, like, oh, since he's president, you know, everyone is just going to just take the orders that are given without even, like, asking about them. Like, but you're saying that there's, like, a whole kind of checks and balance system still in place.
There is, but I'll tell you right now, don't be overly optimistic just in the sense that you know, he's the people he's putting in his cabinet and the people he's trying to push through, the policies he's trying to push through, are very much a wild departure for any from any kind of previous norms.
Don't they understand that, like, their policies, it's just not good for anybody in the country? Like, it's kind of weird that's what this is what they want.
It honestly depends if they truly believe that now that they have control of everything, that they have some way to basically permanently put themselves in power. Right? Mm-hmm. It truly comes down to it, and it truly comes down to whether some of these people, because, you know what, as much as we just say Republicans, again, somebody like Mitt Romney, he truly cares about the good of the country. He's truly a kind, decent person. I disagree with a lot of his policy ideas, but he's truly an upstanding personal individual from a moral perspective. And, you know, he's not going to sit there. I cannot imagine he's going to sit there and confirm, you know, Tulsi Gabbard for National Intelligence Director. He's not going to confirm a Fox News host to be in charge of the military. He's not going to confirm Matt Gaetz to be in charge of, you know, the Attorney General. If the question is if there's enough of those. There's going to be some. There's going to be a few. But are there going to be enough?
Mm.
Right? Like, people hate Matt Gaetz, for instance. And, like, literally Mitt Romney called Tulsi a Russian traitor and a Russian asset not that long ago.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of. I don't think she is. But
she said a lot of stuff that's like openly like not just like, oh hey, Russia's not so bad, but it's like, oh my god, this literally sounds like what Russian state media says. So that's one thing.
Oh,
and
I know
that's a little bit flimsy, but the big other thing is that she had some secret meetings with Sirius. With Syria's dictator back in the day, Asir al-Bassad, I can't remember how to say his name. She had some like secret meetings she wasn't supposed to have with him. That's when she got kind of looked at kind of funny. And the other big thing is, frankly, even if you don't think she's a Russian asset, and I think at least the evidence is questionable on that, but even if you don't think that, you know, she has zero experience leading military intelligence, right?
But she's former military. She like knows the ins and outs and stuff.
No, some random soldier shooting and stuff doesn't know anything about intelligence gathering or the FBI, the CIA, NSA, all this stuff. Like if Trump had put her in charge of the Department of Defense, that makes more sense to me, right? That okay. I don't know if she at least it makes a little bit more sense. We're like, okay, that's something where she has experience, where her particular ideas seem like they make sense. But in charge of the CIA with zero intelligence gathering experience, zero heavy leadership experience, zero real, she hasn't really shown that she's able to do this at all.
So the position she got hired for is not a position where you're not trying to get somebody who can learn in the position. You want somebody who knows what the hell they're doing.
No, man, it's the cabinet of the United States. You want somebody who's at least, I'm not saying Trump can't pick somebody he likes.
Right.
He picked somebody, I don't know, like Mike Pompeo, right? Mike Pompeo used to be, I think, in the CIA, or I can't remember if FBI, and he used to be a pretty big, they disagree on some stuff, right? But somebody like him, again, not saying I agree or want Mike Pompeo, but it kind of makes more sense.
Well, right? Okay.
Trump's energy secretary. Trump's energy secretary was an oil and gas guy.
Yeah, it's the fracking guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? You don't have to, it makes sense that he would do that, and an oil and gas CEO is going to be a perfectly rational adult.
But he's also but that guy in particular, he questioned he questioned if global warming was real. So that's kind
of
weird.
A lot of them do. And
that's,
I'm sort of
that's
strong.
Really it's very disheartening.
I'm not saying it's a perfect pick, but it's at least a pick that makes sense from their perspective.
Right.
Mitt Romney and co. are not going to have a problem with an oil executive being in charge of the Department of Energy. Let me just tell you that right now, right? No Republican is going to have a problem with that. More Republicans are going to have a problem with former Democrat, possible Russian asset, and zero experience in the intelligence community, Tulsi Gabbard, leading all our intelligence communities, right? Okay. Does that make sense? Same with Robert Kennedy Jr. Even if you don't entirely think he's crazy and that a brain worm is leading his brain, his expertise was as an environmental lawyer, right? There's actually an article that started getting popularized that Obama briefly considered him for director of EPA until he discovered what Robert Kennedy had actually said in real life and then stopped considering it very quickly. But again, if you tell me, okay, Robert Kennedy, former environmental lawyer, going to be in charge of the EPA, it's like,
Makes sense.
I don't agree with the stuff on vaccines and stuff, but I can see this has some logic. In fact, I'm surprised Republicans want to do that because they usually don't want to regulate the environment. But I could actually see that could actually be even a decent thing, compared to all the possible options. But nope, right. He's going to be put in charge of Health and Human Services, who, as a non-doctor with zero medical experience, who thinks vaccines are all bullshit, who thinks Wi-Fi causes cancer. You know what I mean? It's like they're putting these people in the worst possible positions.
Well, it sounds as though he just wants people that would agree with him, not exactly people that would do the job correctly. It's just people that I think he would probably have some folks that will make the decisions or make up the plan, and then they'll just enact them, but no one will question
it. Some of these are so bad that I think part of the theory, and I think it's a funny theory, I don't know if I don't think anybody truly knows, except Trump's inner circle, but I think part of the theory is that Trump is basically, you know, all these little characters and weird people that helped him get elected. All right, so he puts Tulsi Gabbard up and Matt Gaetz up and all these people up, and then they crash and burn, right? Crash and burn, they're idiots, they get rejected. And then he picks people who are still loyal and who, you know, who are going to be yes men, but people who are someone, a traditional Republican, can be like, okay, that's not the worst pick it could have been. I guess we'll just go along with this because, you know, he won the presidency. He's going to get his pick eventually. If he's giving us somebody semi-reasonable, that's about the best we're going to be able to do. Sure, I'll sign off on that. Right.
Right.
Like, if we think of it as the Mitt Romney test, I'm just putting out Mitt Romney because he's the most famous of these people. But the moderate, decent Republican test, right? It seems like somebody like Tulsi, somebody like RFK, somebody like Matt Gaetz most likely fail those, right? Mm. Versus, or at least possibly fail those. Let's not say most likely. Possibly fail those.
Possibly.
Versus, some of the other guys, they're still, you know, going to be heavy Republicans who want to do what Trump does and stuff. But they're at least going to be competent adults who make some sense in the position. And that can be sold, not famous, crazy people. And that way he can just tell the crazy people that helped him win and say, oh, sorry, I tried. Go fuck off. Now you're a loser. You know what I mean?
Right.
And with giving Vivek and Elon agency outside the government that's supposedly going to give recommendations for cutting the government, they're not getting real government titles, salaries, anything. It's just an advisory agency. You can just completely ignore what they say. So can Congress. There's two of them, which is goofy. Why would you have two people running the same agency?
Yeah,
CEOs. They both have huge egos and not going to exactly agree on everything. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like a way to I'll give you guys attention and make it seem like you helped me. And then, you know, once we get to the real meat of the presidency and things start happening, all of you can get bumped off and I can actually run with a real team that isn't a bunch of idiots.
No, like,
Trump has no loyalty to anyone. I will say that. That's the one thing that can clearly be said about the man. In this case, it's kind of a good thing. He left none of the idiots who were in his first administration, except only Stephen Miller is somehow still there, right? That's pretty much it. Everybody else is pretty much gone. Everybody. Rudy, Giuliani, Steve Bannon, Mike Flynn, all these other, what was her name? Kellyanne Conway, all these other little hangers-on and douches from the first administration that like to enable him, they're all gone, right? Michael Cohen, everybody he was loyal to from his first administration supposedly is gone. The idea that he's going to be super loyal to RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, you know, is, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Obviously, very unpredictable stuff, but I would not be the slightest bit shocked that come June of next year, none of these people are, you know, have any kind of position of power. Not that means that Trump's presidency is going to be awesome, but it'd be nice if it wasn't full of a bunch of crazy morons who, you know, clearly addicted to power.
Well, Ron, that's well put, and no, and I'm glad I was able to get to pick your brain on this stuff, because you know this stuff. I had a few questions. I know the viewers definitely have been paying close attention to this. So yeah,
I will say, viewers, don't expect this to be the norm. This was a
unique
event and a fun thing. Honestly, it was a fun getting into more in depth and serious discussions.
Oh yeah, of course.
Stuff we usually get into. But we promise it's going to go back to fun movie stuff that you can not stress about, and good reviews. Probably have the Penguin review and a couple other
podcasts
we have coming up.
Yeah, we got some stuff. Yeah, we got some stuff cooking up. Also, we also have social media coming up too. So definitely, y'all can look out for that.
We got in the meantime. We got our Instagram live or Threads live. We get a Blue Sky, a couple things, Reddit. You know, find ways for us to communicate with y'all and let y'all know when we have a new podcast and what we're thinking, what we're working on. Give y'all a little more insight.
Yeah, wait for us to connect with you. Yeah, connect with you, make you guys a part of this channel and show. So yeah, no. So thank you, Juan, and until next time, guys. Adios, guys. Peace.
Adios, y'all. Have a good one. Have a nice, safe 4 years.
Yeah, brother.